Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Contrary to the typical assumption, Jesus enjoyed some small popularity with the Pharisees during his Passion Week. Now, they weren't thrilled with him at first. They had sent out their disciples in a planned debate with the Herodian party regarding the taxes paid to Caesar. The trap was set. The Pharisees and the Herodians just happened to be hanging around in the temple courts where they could ask Jesus a supposedly innocent question. As you know, the Pharisees didn't fare too well. They compromised themselves to work with their rivals who supported King Herod, who in turn supported the Roman oppressors. From their perspective, Jesus essentially sided with the Herodians. With those famous words, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's," he silenced the Pharisaical seminarians. On the heels of the defeat of those students, the Sadducees stepped up to bat. Figuring they might as well get in their pot shots against the Pharisees, they posed a question about the hotly contested doctrine of a final resurrection. Well, Jesus was at least polite to the Pharisee students. "We can't quite say that about his answer to the Sadducees. You are deceiving yourselves because you do not know your scriptures or the power of God." And this time, word really began to spread, and even the layperson going about his daily business was amazed. Jesus silenced the Sadducees. He zipped their mouths closed. He muzzled them. If they had been swine and Jesus had been a cowboy, Matthew could have written that he had hogtied them in 3 seconds flat. And despite the morning's fiasco, this probably gained him at least a little popularity with the Pharisees. After all, anybody who could so boldly squash the Sadducees couldn't be all bad. And maybe it was the disciples who messed up. After all, even a fourth-year seminarian can goof up on occasion. At any rate, they decided to send one of their expert lawyers to put the real pinch on Jesus. One can almost imagine the biggest bully on the block gathering all of his buddies who just happened to be hanging around on the street corner and itching to pick a fight. "So, teacher, which of the 613 commandments, we know our scriptures, you Sadducees, is the greatest?" I like to imagine a Sadducee standing on the sidelines heckling. "What, you stand there with your phylacteries on your forehead and on your left arm and your tassels hanging down, and you don't know what the greatest commandment is?" While the Pharisees had focused in on the details and lost the main point, Jesus overlooked the details and got right to the main point. The greatest law is not in the details. The greatest law is not impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at the snack bar and when you walk to chapel. When you collapse on the couch at night and when you roll out of bed at the buzz of the alarm clock. The greatest commandment is not tie them under your watch bands on your wrist or bind them on your forehead under the brim of a backward baseball cap. The greatest commandment is not write them on your door frames and on the gates of your houses. The greatest commandment is first, before all that. The greatest commandment, O Pharisee, is that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your intellect. The greatest law is not in the details. You are to intentionally and purposely love God. Not an emotive love that waxes or wanes with your feelings, but an ongoing commitment When we love God as we ought, there is no place left in our hearts, our souls, or our minds for just going through the motions and fulfilling the details of the law. Neither is there a place to retreat from what is so often mislabeled pietism, when that retreat is really nothing more than running away from totally submitting to God. Loving God absolutely and totally is not a matter of outward signs and actions. It is a complete transformation of our very selves, our entire motivation, our life perspective. And if all that isn't enough to crush the Pharisees and to crush us, Jesus demonstrates that total love for God. Loving God totally means that if you are forced to go 1 mile with your neighbor, you go 2. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus goes the extra mile. The Pharisees were looking for some point from which to hang Jesus, and he gives them 2. They had asked him for the greatest commandment, and he gives them the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if the Pharisees really knew their scriptures, they would have heard a whole lot more than a simple sentence. They would have heard, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." They would have heard, "Do not turn to false idols or make gods for yourselves, or place before God any event, person, idea, or college degree." They would have heard, "Do not steal, do not lie. Do not misuse the Lord's name on the IM field. Do not speak badly of the guy in the desk next to you. Do not curse the visiting basketball team. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor student or favoritism to the good student. Do not speak ill about your brothers in the faith. Do not hate your brother in your heart, where there should only be room for total love of the Lord. If need be, rebuke your brother humbly and with courage and honesty. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge, but love your neighbor as yourself." Love God with your whole self. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. Not just the book of Levi, not just some 613 details, but the entire law and all of the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. And as Jesus spoke to those hearts, which were less than totally devoted to the Lord, not to mention neighbor, I'm sure that each person there who honestly looked inside realized that in his less than total love, he also hung in condemnation from those 2 commandments. The 2 commandments over which the entirety of the law and the prophets were draped. So also, these 2 commandments are the hanging points, the small details from which the sinner hangs condemned like the tassel of a Pharisee's hem. For all of their keeping of some theologically compiled 613 details, they failed to keep the 2 most important commandments, and in their guilt, they hung from these 2 laws. Even as they prided themselves for being immersed in the scriptures, and even as perhaps this lawyer prided himself for being the best in his class, each one was completely cut off from God's holiness, and thus from God himself. As we reflect on Jesus' answer to that enticing question, we realize nothing new about ourselves. We see our lackadaisical love of God for what it is. We see our haphazard love of our neighbor for what it is. We have gotten hung up on the details of the law, and we hang condemned on these 2 all-encompassing commandments. The great irony of Jesus' answer that day, however, is that he himself got hung up on the details. The Pharisees had come looking for some excuse for which to hang Jesus, and he gave it to them. Because he loved his Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind, he was obedient to the cross. Because he loved his neighbors as himself, he died for the sinful world. The one who had fulfilled all 613 commandments in light of the first and most important commandments. The one whose place was not to hang in condemnation. He is the one who loved God and his neighbors with such totality that he hung on the cross for you. Not just Pharisees who believed, or Sadducees who believed, or students who believed, or professors who believed, but for you who believe. The one who had fulfilled the law and the prophets allowed himself to hang, to dangle from two little points. Not just the points of the nails which pierced his hands, but the two points, the two great commandments over which the law and the prophets hang down. He fulfilled them for you. And by his hanging there, he forgives you all your sin, and he brings you in his total and unyielding love before God the Father without even the slightest blemish against your name. God grant it for Jesus' sake. May the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds and souls in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.